Okay, Shalom Aleichem. We are continuing on with Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11 of Sefer Shoftim, where we are learning about the fascinating personality and character of Yiftach. Yiftach was a shofet who took over in a very precarious time, as all the Shoftim really did. Oh, he took leadership in a precarious time of Klal Yisrael. Yiftach was unique in that he was unsuspecting as a leader. Sorry, one second. Something is beeping. Unsuspecting as a leader, as he was not living either in formal part of Israel, wasn't living amongst his people, and he was sort of brought back in. And we discussed that, how he was really kicked out by his brothers from the land of Gilad, where he grew up, and he was living in Eretz Tov. And we analyzed last week the psukim about how did they try to woo him and bring him back, and they really didn't do such a great job. We noticed that the language that they used was different. They had one time where they said, we want you to be a katzin in this manner, according to the Malbim. Remember Michael Breben? I don't see if Michael Breben here. Michael Breben is here. Michael Breben noticed the language was brought up by the Malbim. And the katzin was one of the people involved in the war, a guy that stands on the side in the katzeh hamilchama. Katzeh means on one of the extreme sides, not involved, but not the head. And Yiftach said, if you're bringing me back, that is not going to cut it. That's not going to be enough. I'm not going to come back for that. Remember what happened. And then they said, okay, we'll make you our Rosh. We'll make you the Rosh. You will be the head, and everything that happens and ensues in this war is going to be attributed to you, Yiftach. And with that, Yiftach said yes. Yiftach acquiesced and went to fight against Ammon. Today, we're going to analyze those psukim even further and see what happens with Ammon. What is Ammon's gripe with the Jewish people? Why are they so angry at Klal Yisrael? We know why they came. They came because the Jewish people were worshiping idols and were neglecting their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that as a direct result of that, the foreign nations come. But now, what happens? According to Yossi, what happens moving forward? So, Vayelech Torah tells us, Nanavi tells us in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayelech Yiftach im Zikne Gilad, Vayesimu Ha'am Oso Alehem, L'Rosh L'Katzin. Fascinating. They give him both titles, both monikers. He's not just the president, he's the vice president. He has, like, I would say, total power. You know, to follow the sports analogy over here, he's the GM and the coach, or he's president of all operations, and he's the coach of the team, right? Or he's the owner and the GM. You have different models like that, but when just think about it, is that a healthy thing? Is that a healthy thing for somebody to have a lot of power with less oversight? Not complete, no oversight. There are other people involved in the organization, but here, Klal Yisrael is giving him two positions. Rosh,
Rabbi,
and Katzin. Yes,
your example of baseball is very true. For you're too young for this, but the manager, the owner of the Oakland A's, was Charlie Finley. He's exactly what you're talking about. I don't know if you ever remember hearing that name, but he did everything. He was the owner. He ran the team, made all the decisions, and he almost ruined baseball.
He almost ruined baseball. Wow, that's a very strong. Strong accusation.
He did okay. Manage.
On the eve of the World Series, somebody that ruined baseball. Okay. Vayelech Yiftach. Are we in November and the World Series didn't start yet? That's crazy. Vayelech, almost November. Vayelech Yiftach im Zikne Gilad, Vesimo Amo So Aleyam, LaRosh LaKatzin, Vaydaver Yiftach, Es Kol Devarav, Lifnei Hashem BaMitzvah. So they make him the Rosh Katzin, and Yiftach says all of these things to God, to Hashem, in the mitzvah, lifnei Hashem b'mitzvah. Now, what does that mean, that he spoke to Hashem, lifnei Hashem b'mitzvah? So Rashi says something here very fascinating. Does this mean that Yiftach is talking to Hashem? What does this mean? So Rashi writes, l'makom sh'ne'esvu kulam, she'eshchina shor harov ha'tzibur. It wasn't that Yiftach said, I need some space right now to talk to Hashem. Leaders need that space. That's definitely true. That's not what happened over here. What happened here is that by the presence of so many Jewish people, right? Many people came out to see their Savior. See Yiftach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them. When there was a mass of Jewish people that are congregated together, Hashem is amongst them. Sheshchina Shora al Rov HaTzibor. Hashem was Shora amongst the Tzibor. This is a Gemara. Rashi's quoting the Gemara Masecha Sanhedrin. That's what happened over here. That, and Gidon himself, the Yiftach himself, took advantage of that and spoke to the Ribono Sheolam over here. And his Dvarav most likely refers to the conditions that he's going to be the leader. And they went through that and they explained that. The Radak writes, Lifnei Hashem b'mitzvah, b'makom shai Hashem
b'esa. Excuse me, Rabbi, can you go back 1 second? You said that he was how is he different from a melech?
How is
Yiftach different from a melech? He's a katrin, that's like a general. He's a rosh, he's the head, but is he the melech?
So in some ways they have the status of melech, and other ways they don't. One way they don't is that they don't have the restrictions of melech. For example, you know, the laws of how many wives one can marry, or the halachos of limitations on money or horses. There is no, when it comes to a king, he has to have a separate Sefer Torah. He has to also, his son can take over if he is fitting. That's not true when it comes to a shofet. In fact, we rarely see that happen, that a child takes over from a shofet. Only we see problems with that arise. So a shofet is similar to a king, how he is the leader, but not necessarily. We also pointed out, I think it was a Ralbag, that said that sometimes there might be two shoftim at the same time. There might be concurrent shoftim, might be different leading different regions. Also, a shofet is not immediately accepted by everybody. It seems like they start in a region and then become accepted by everybody else. A melech, there can't be two malachim. That doesn't work, right? Forgot the language. The two people don't sit on the throne at the same time. That does not work over here. So, lifnei Hashem b'mitzvah says the Radak. Hashem be'iso k'mo she'amar. So lifnei Hashem, this was his home. Hashem lifnei Hashem k'mo she'amar. Hashem yeshamea ben usnedo. Ol fisha shchina shor b'Yisrael b'makom she's kabsu o atam. Which Rashi says Yeshua. Ki hi amitzvah she'noadu hamalachim lachem im Yeshua. So this place in Mitzvah was a place where Yehoshua fought with kings. In the middle of Sefer Yeshua, he fought with many, many kings at one time. And there was a major salvation of Klal Yisrael there. So in order to sort of officially appoint, we have to go back to a press conference. Right, to officially appoint Yiftach as the leader, they saw it fitting to put him here in this place where there was already a major salvation for the Jewish people. Think about like a place where Gettysburg. Oh, that's where, you think about, tomorrow or next week, are the elections. And when someone announces they're running, so they'll usually state that they'll usually do it at a place that's very personal to them or something connection to the country or the state that they're running in. So here, it's the Battle of Gettysburg, or they'll do it in Pennsylvania, they'll do it in their old high school. So here, either it's a place that was his home, so he's appointed in his home. That's what the Radak writes. Or the second approach in the Radak is that this was a place that was a special really to Klal Yisrael, and that Klal Yisrael needed that had a Yeshua there. And this is to remind them and excite them that this guy that now is taking over can really lead them more. I want to just share with you the words of Rabbi Moshe Lichtenstein. Rabbi Lichtenstein is the son of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He's now the Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshivat Har Etzion. He has an article on Yiftach, and he writes here the following. And this is, we need to keep this in mind as we move forward with Yiftach. In this manner, they reach Yiftach and propose that he be the deliverer who will lead Israel's forces in battle against the people of Ammon. Indeed, the figure of Yiftach, as described in the opening verses of the Torah, corresponds well to the model of deliverer, but not to that of Shofet. Sam, maybe back to your question, right? They are not asking him to lead and to educate and to adjudicate. They're only asking him to fight a war. He's ostracized of lowly descent and lives on the fringes of society in the company of idle and reckless people, relying on his martial skills. These traits are useful for a military campaign, but they do not satisfy the required criteria for running a country during peacetime, right? Sometimes you have people that become, you know, presidents, senators, because of their military prowess and their awards and accolades that they've received. They're great military or wartime presidents, right? We've heard that term before. You know, this guy, he was great during wartime. The second the war was over, or the second they crushed your enemy, or the second that they went into war and now things were normal, we didn't need him anymore. He wasn't good for normal times. And that's, you know, everyone needs, like we spoke about last week, the leader for their generation. And was this appropriate? They were asking for a very specific skill set, but he wasn't the general person who should be leading them afterwards. They see him as a military leader who will lead the forces, nothing more. This is in light of the deliverer model of leadership familiar to them from the previous crisis. Yiftach, however, does not suffice with that. He doesn't only want to be the guy who fights the war. He wants to be the Rosh. He wants to be the Shofet over here. And it's fascinating, makes a great comparison as opposed to Gideon. Gideon didn't want to be the leader. He was okay just fighting the war, if you remember, right? Gideon does not want that. He insists on translating military success into civil authority. And the elders of Gilead see no alternative, make the following offer. They have no choice. Their hands are tied. Right now, there's an enemy oppressing them. They have to go this route, but it's not necessarily good, right? Sometimes something can happen right before an election that causes everybody to change their vote because they need this guy. But after that moment is over, they realize they made a big mistake. They made a big error. And we have to think about that. Think about that. And that's the frame in which he places Yiftach and the Jewish people. The Jewish people, their hands are tied. Yiftach is asking for maybe more than he could even handle and more than what his resume can bring him to do. The Yishlach Yiftach Malachim. Yiftach now sends messengers to Ammon. And he says to them, why are you bothering us, essentially? Why are you bothering us? What is so annoying about the Jewish people that you need to fight against us? So they respond. We're going to go through these Pesukim a little bit quickly. They respond by saying, you know why we're coming. You took our land when you left Egypt. This is, again, going back several hundred years. When you left Egypt, you took our land. Ki lakach Yisrael es artzi, ba'lo somi Mizraim, me'arnon v'yabok. Ba'yar din v'ta ha'yishiva eshen, ba'shalom. Now please return it. Otherwise, we're still going to aggress you, and we're still going to threaten you, and nothing is going to change. Right? So we see here that Yiftach is making a good decision. He is trying to make some type of deal with the Jewish people, with Ammon. Instead of fighting first, he's not bloodthirsty. Instead of fighting first, he's trying to channel the means of communication in order to change this battle. No Jews need to die if we can work this out, you know, with our words. We don't need to do that. By Yosef o Yiftach, they say nothing doing. By Yosef o Yiftach, Yishach Malachim, so he sends another set of messengers, right? Another group of emissaries and people to help. By Yomer Lo, Ko Amar Yiftach, Lo Lakach Yisrael as Eretz Moab as Eretz Binyamin. We didn't take the land. What happened? Let's remember what happened. We didn't take the land. Ki Balosim Mitzrayim Ve'elach Yisrael B'midbar Ad Yom Suf Avyeh Kadesha. We went, the Jewish people went through the Yam Suf and we went to the land called Kadesh. And when we got to Kadesh, again, that's like year one to year 39. V'yishlach Yisrael Malachim, El Melech Edom. We sent, if you remember correctly, we sent people to Edom. Why did we send people to Edom? Because we were hungry and we wanted to go, also we wanted to go through their land. It would have been easier to go through their land instead of going around their land. What did Edom say? We said we're cousins, we're related, we're brothers, we're mishpacha. Moav, our mishpacha, that's Tarsha, and Edom, that's told us, they said nothing doing. By the way, this is the connection between Yiftach and its. And when we read it, we read this as the Haftorah for Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas is when we ask Edom about going into Lavor Baratzo, to go into their land. That's why this is the connection. We have to go around Eretz Edom, and we go towards Melech Moav. If you remember correctly, I know it. I have the Torah. And it says there very clearly, we did not penetrate any of the borders of Edom or Moab. It was annoying for us. It was difficult. It made us have more time in the desert. But that's what we did. Yishlach Yisrael Malachim al Sichon Melech Hamor. Then we sent messengers to Sichon. And we said, Sichon, can we go into you? Sichon didn't trust the Jewish people. And Sichon, what did he do? He went to attack. Ve'ilachem b'yis im Yisrael. V'itein Hashem elokei Yisrael. Sichon, guess what? We won that battle. Vayakum. Yirash Yisrael, as called Eretz Amori, Yoshev Aretzahi. We attacked and obtained the land of Sichon because guess what? They attacked us first. Yirshu as called Gvul Amori, Marinon Ad Yavok, Min HaMibar, Vadi Yarden. And we got all this land that was outside of the land of Israel became ours. Ma'ata Hashem Okei Yisrael, Horishas Amori. Right, Hashem drove out the Amorim from the land. Right, Hashem won the war for us, and now you. One second, Nathan. And now you're asking for this land back. That's preposterous. What are you doing? You're asking for this land back. This is a war. Yeah, Nathan, go ahead.
Did they attack us first, or they just withheld food and water?
What?
Did they attack us first?
Yes.
All right, so this was just, there was no question, this is a Milchama mitzvah.
Yeah, we had to defend ourselves. Yeah. Vayesov Sichon es kol amo v'yachanu b'yatza v'yelach im Yisrael. Yeah. V'ata Hashem okay, Yisrael, right? Now, Pasuk of Dalet. Halo es asher yorishcha kemosh elokecha oso tirash. So he says, now your God, the God of the Ammonites, okay, learn today, your God's name is Chamosh or Chemosh. He gives you your land in which you live, and that's the land that you have. So, you know, don't bother us with this land. You know, so the many Mefarshim point out over here, like, why are we mentioning the God of the Moabites over here? Like, why does that Moab and Ammon are together? If you remember, this directly connects to Parshas Vayera, is that Ammon and Moab are children and grandchildren of Lot, right? So they dwell together, and their land, we're assuming right now, are very, you know, top of each other, connected to one another. So Mefarshim are saying here that Yiftach was a very smart general. and he was speaking in their terms, not that he was agreeing that Chamosh has any power, but he was speaking in a way to tell them, listen, you think he does, so I'll talk in that way, because, and you have Chamosh on your side. Chamosh, you have your land, we have our land, and the land that we have is only things that we acquired through wars many years ago. And you have all of these lands. Melech Moav, Harov Rav im Yisrael, im Nochom Nocham Bam. Are you now not better than Balak? Balak attacked the Jewish people. Are you no better than him? Meaning, he attacked the Jewish people, and you're doing the same thing to us. B'Shevet Yisrael B'Cheshbon, we're not bothering you. There's no one here. Uvnu Seha V'Ar Or. And by the way, you're waking up only 300 years later. Like, what happened during all these previous years? And now you're saying you want this land back when we were living in these lands for so many centuries. Anochi, this is like the British coming back, you know, it's actually would be another 100 years, and the British coming back and saying, hello, we want our land back. Anochi lo chatasi lach, v'ata ose'u iti ra'a, and we're not bothering you. And now you are fighting us. Yishpot Hashem ha-shofet hayom bein b'nei Yisrael uvein b'nei Amon. Do we need to get our God involved that he's going to decide who's going to win this war between us and you? The Lo Shama Melech Ben Amon El Divrei Yiftach Asher Shalach Elav. After this entire conversation and history lesson and speech, the bottom line is that the Melech of Amon refused to listen. Lo Shama Melech Ben Amon El Divrei Yiftach. The Melech of Amon did not hear, did not acquiesce, did not listen to the words of Yiftach that was sent to him. So now it seems like they are going to go out to war. These two sides are going to fight. This is a very positive development in terms of Yiftach's growth process, is that Yiftach is doing the right thing in terms of the process of the war. Datia Yiftach Ruach Hashem. Vayavor es Gilad, Mes Menashe, Vayavor es Mispa Gilad, Itzpe Gilad Avar Bnei Amo. What do you see here? What does Yiftach? Sorry, I keep on confusing him and Gidon. What does Yiftach here obtain? He has Ruach Hashem. The Spirit of God is with him. Hashem is with him over here. This is a ruach of gvura, of strength, of bravery that he is given to give Yiftach at this time. We saw many of the shoftim also get this before they go out to war. There's the Navi points out they have a ruach Hashem that is with them. Vayidur Yiftach neder l'Hashem. Now listen to this. Listen to this, because this is going to be very controversial, and this is going to be something that is going to be discussed at length. We have to spend time on this the next few psukim. Vayidur Yiftach neder l'Hashem. Yiftach makes a vow to God. Vayomer, im nason titen es b'nei Amon biyadi. If you deliver the people of Amon into my hands, listen to this. Vaya hayotze asher yetze midalse besi likresi bishuvi v'shalom ibnei amon vayal Hashem v'helisuhu ola. He says that after I win the war and I have a feast in my home to celebrate that victory, the first thing that enters my home through my doors, I will bring as a korban. I will bring as a korban. Now, what is the problem?
How about lockwards?
This. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, Rabbi Lapp. Go ahead. Rabbi Lapp, I can't hear you so well. Rabbi Lapp? So the Gemara, just trying to pull up the Gemara over here. So the Gemara, this is always amazing because we always, the Gemara Maseches Tainis writes the following. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan. Important to note, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni is very often quoted in Agadaic passages in the Gemara because he was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Agadat Yeshiva. He writes here, there are three people that asked incorrectly. For two of them, Hashem gave them the right response. So who are the three people that asked inappropriately? Number one, our parsha. Number one is Eliezer Eved Avram. What happened to Eliezer? He said, whoever is going to, you know, feed my donkeys, you know, and bring it up, then that's going to be the person that's going to marry Yitzchak. That could have been any random person. And that would have been very, very bad. Out of the kindness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he made sure that it was Rivka. Secondly, Shaul ben Kish. Shaul said, the first king of the Jewish people. He said, he made an offer about Goliath. Whoever kills Goliath, I am going to have them marry my daughter. It could have been a mamzer, or it could have been anybody, an Eved. It was David HaMelech. Shaul lucked out. The third is Yiftach HaGiladi. Yiftach HaGiladi, see, Vaya Yotzei Asher Yasami, that say Basi, right? It could have been something, a non-kosher animal, which would have been a halachic problem if it was a non-kosher animal. That it wasn't a non-kosher animal, but we will see. Anyone know who ended up, he wins the war. We'll learn the psukim next week. Who is the one that comes to through his door first?
His daughter.
So now we have to ask, is that an appropriate vow? Is that a correct neder? Is that appropriate? What happens to his daughter? He can't bring her as a korban. That doesn't really work. He can't kill somebody. But what happens as a result of that? What happens from the people's perspective? Noticing that he made not a small mistake, but a pretty big mistake. What's that relationship like? And what happens to his daughter as a result of this vow? So that, the Ezra Hashem, we will learn next week. We'll learn more in depth about what happened exactly in the war. And then we will learn more about the life of Yiftach. I wish everybody a great week.
Rabbi, the first two in the door.